The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, everybody. We want to thank our sponsor, Legion M. They are a wonderful company. We love working with them. You can go to their website, Legion M. They're also on all the various socials. They do really fun meetups. You can talk to directors. You can become a part of the projects they choose. They even have a program right now where you can help them find great movies to support. So go to their website to learn more. We also want to remind you that we have a Patreon that we call Maltreon. You can join us. We have $3, $5, $10, $20 options. You can get newsletters from my dad, all kinds of neat stuff behind the scenes. Hang out with us, learn about who our guests are before anybody else, and listen to the podcast before anybody else. Go to patreon.com/maltononmovies for more information.
That's patreon.com/maltononmovies.
Hi, everyone. It's Leonard Maltin. We're taking a little breather, but we don't want to leave you empty-handed, so to speak. Here is one of our all-time favorite conversations that Jesse and I had with the one and only Mel Brooks. It was recorded in his office 5 years ago when his best friend Carl Reiner was still alive. But Mel's hilarity and warmth are timeless. Enjoy.
We're just going to keep talking.
Yeah.
Like this.
I don't know what you're going to use. Well, I got some podcasts. You can use it all.
Yeah.
I don't get paid for this, do I?
No.
I know.
No.
There's no money in
it. You
this.
Get a due bill.
Yeah.
But no cash.
Due bills used to be for the mountains. You could get the first 2 days free, you know, mm-hmm. with a due bill. Mm-hmm. At the Butler Lodge, anyway.
I want to ask you, Mel.
Ask away.
What movies did you love when you were growing up?
That's a good question. It depends on what age. I was lucky enough to be young enough to see the original Walt Disney animated cartoons when I was 9 or 10. I was very, very happy to see Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I really love them. I like comedies, but mostly to this day, when somebody says, because I'm a filmmaker and because I've produced stuff like The Elephant Man and, you know, and important movies, they say, what's your favorite movie? And they expect me to say something like Great Expectations, so Grand Illusion, or Reef Fifi. I mean, these classic. I will always say Top Hat, because ever since I was 9 or 10, they have been my favorite movies. Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movie. Oh. If I'm going to see a movie, that's my favorite movie.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do much better.
No.
Yeah.
You can't do much
better. They didn't get much better. Till I came along, they didn't get much better.
They were waiting for
you. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you did more. You did your homage to them.
Yeah.
And more than once.
Well, The French Wonderful. Mistake is
yes.
in Blazing Saddles.
Absolutely.
French Mistake.
So good.
And you would.
Astaire would have liked that.
Yeah.
And Busby Berkeley would have loved it.
Ah, yes. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, one of the things that I love in those movies, and I'm sure you do too, are the character actors. Edward Everett Horton.
Oh, yeah.
People like that.
Eric Bloor.
They added so much to those movies.
Helen Broderick. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were always surrounded by wonderful, Victor Moore, mm-hmm. always surrounded by wonderful character actors, you mm-hmm. know. Yeah. Edward Everett Horton was the best of mm-hmm. them, you know.
Well, where did you see your movies?
There was the Commodore, which played Lowe's movies, mm-hmm. a lot of the Lowe's. And there was the RKO Republic in Grand Extension. And they played a lot of, I guess, Universal and and RKO mm-hmm. pictures, naturally. And then there was a place called The Dumps, and, you know, on Upper Broadway. And You got three movies there. You got usually westerns and stuff, but you got three, and you got a thing called a racing. You got a ticket. You could win something, and Fox Movie Tone News. I mean, you got so much for a dime.
Yeah,
for a dime, you got. You know, my mother had to come and grab me by the hair and take me home because I'd love to watch, especially if it was a musical, whatever it was. I wouldn't leave, so she would have to. She really, literally grabbed me by the hair and yanked me out of the movie house to take me home, so I could eat dinner. You know.
When and how do you think you developed your taste for foreign language films? Because I know you love foreign films.
I think it really started with De Sica. Mm-hmm. It was way before Fellini, way before what was.
La Strada.
Courant. I loved La Strada, too. Yeah. That was Fellini. But De Sica was the bicycle thief, you know, and Shoeshine. I mean, I just thought they were miraculous. I said, look at the stories. And
to this day, it's true.
Yeah.
To this day, it's true.
And the acting. And the comedies that he made. The Gold of Naples with Sophia Loren and Mastroianni. Incredible, funny, sweet, you know. And the funniest picture I ever saw was a Monicelli picture. Mario Monicelli. Madonna Street. I don't think anybody's made a funnier picture.
No.
Than that.
Not even you?
Well, not even... for what it was, not even me.
Yeah. No, it was one.
I mean, he worked, what, for $5 he made that movie?
Yeah, you know? And they tried remaking it, and it didn't work.
No, it can't. I mean, you know, he had... He also had Toto, a genius from Naples, and, you know, a Naples actor. Toto, who's... The guy who says, I was coming with the water. Why did you break the water? So funny.
I want to go back a turn for a second because you're talking about great character actors. Dom DeLuise. One of my favorite humans that has ever existed.
I miss him so much.
We were very fortunate and got to know him and his wife, who is still around and is still a spitfire. But Dom, he's just never
his joie de vivre, his energy, his love of life. He was so crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was, you know what, Ann and I would go out to dinner with Dom and Carol, okay? So we're all in a car, and Dom is driving. And I say, stop, I want to get a paper for later. So I stop, and I get a Times, and I get to the car, and he moves it up 4 feet. So I said, okay, Dom, the joke is over. Well, you know, we're late for dinner. They're expecting, you know, and so I get up. I'm just going to grab the handle. He moves it up another
little
8 feet.
Little boys.
Until finally I fell down laughing. I mean, I was screaming. I said, the silliness,
Let me in the car. Yes.
The nerve, you know.
No, when you were...
And Dom would do things like he would have an ice cream cone. Once he said, this is good. You know, he said, this is good. This is really good. This is good. And he smashed it into his face. I mean, he was wearing a suit and a tie, and, you know. I mean, he just ruined him, but he just did it. You know, he smashed the ice cream cone into his nose and his mouth, and it just dripped all over him. I love it. So.
Naturally funny.
And Ann did a movie called Fatso. In which he was very funny and very moving. You know, very touching. So he was remarkable.
Yeah. He was.
He was our foreign movie actor. You know?
That's it.
He was our foreign movie actor. He had depth, he had humanity as well as, you know, consummate talent in terms of timing and art, you know, in comedy art. He was a genius.
He would have been successful in a black and white movie. He would have been successful in silent film.
Absolutely.
Anything. He's just so damn funny.
Why do you think we're now 40 some years on? Why do you think everybody still not only laughs at but gets Young Frankenstein? You can show this to little kids. Mm-hmm. Or you can show it to people who grew up with the original horror movies.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Everybody gets it. Everybody loves it. Everybody laughs. Do you understand why there's that timeless thing?
I don't know. Well, first of all, we got to thank people like Mary Shelley.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Well, I'm doing a musical of it. I did a musical of it. Now I'm reimagining it. And when Madeline Kahn was at the railway station, now I'm making it, there'll be a drop of a ship because you can't take a train to Trenton. You can't take a train from New York to Transylvania. Somehow you got to get on a boat, you know. So I'm going to be at a wharf, and the there's a guy called Beowulf Borit, B-O-R-I-T-T. Beowulf is his first name. And he showed me a sketch of the wharf, you know, where, of the pier, where Dr. Frankenstein is going to board the ship and say goodbye to. And she's going to do Please Don't Touch Me. The numbers going to work there. But he, and we called it, he called the ship the Queen Mary Shelley.
I like it.
So sweet.
I like it.
That's inspired. That's really good.
So, I mean, it's all going to be good. It's all going to be
My
good.
Mom wears very proudly wears her hat, her Abby Normal hat and shirt. That
really?
She got from, yes, all the time.
Well, we went to see the musical in New York.
All the time she wears it, yes. Very proud.
Gets a good reaction.
Well, the thing is, what you have managed to do in your career is create things that stay with you in such a way that, that so my first time hearing you was 2,000-year-old man. My dad played it for me as a kid. And what you sounded like was all of our Jewish family in New York.
Oh, yeah, there's always an
Uncle. All of our Jewish family.
You'll have an Uncle
Bo
in every family that sounds exactly like that guy.
And every answer you give is exactly what the Altakakas would say.
Exactly.
And the talking.
I'm just doing what my uncles
like
would say.
The is the thing. And the, you know, it's like, and that's how I grew up, and that made sense
to
me.
I mean, they said things like when I was a little kid, they would say, they would always make pronunciamentos.
Yes.
You know, big pronouncements.
Yes.
My Uncle Mo would say, as far as concerned, the new cars, they all good. I mean, it didn't make, didn't make any sense at all, you know. But he just liked making, you know.
Proclamations.
A proclamation. A big pronouncement.
But
anyway, the reason that it works, I think, is that, first of all, a lot of us saw those James Whale pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, we couldn't miss it. If we went to the movies, there was Dracula, there was Frankenstein. James Whale, you know, did 5 or 6 pictures. We saw them all.
Yeah.
And we also Bela Lugosi, we saw. But the stories were very simple.
Yes.
And you took sides, and the rooting interests were there for you. Mm-hmm. And that's why mine is, you know, I just took the James Whale. I didn't make a new story. I just had fun with the story.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of fun with it. But the story is really Mary Shelley's basic story that I like. I like James Whale's version of it a lot better than the novel, because the novel takes it to the North Pole. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the James Whale thing, and I was lucky to get this guy in the movie, this guy Dale Hennessy, who gave me sweating stone castles and these, you know, like when Clara says, they go way up these stone steps. She says, stay close to the candles. The staircase can be treacherous, but she doesn't light the candles.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was so crazy. But everybody, I said, I want 1931, I said to everybody. I want 1931 all around me.
Yeah.
At every point. On the tables, on the floors, in the lab, you know. Strick Fadden. There was a guy
Kenneth called, Strick Fadden.
Kenneth Strick. He had it all, kept all of it in his garage and said,
all the original Frankenstein laboratory stuff.
Zzz, all the zizzes, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was all there. And I think, you know.
But you don't have to have seen the original.
For it to be funny and to make sense.
No, because the story. No, it's a good story. It's the story of steps.
Yeah.
You meet these people. They want to do something. They move forward. And you meet the new people.
Mm-hmm.
Then you keep following them and their hopes and dreams, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it all, and it's just, you know, luck from the gods that you get a Gene Wilder. mm-hmm. who was a great actor.
He's magnificent.
And can play satire so beautifully.
Just magnificent.
Right.
He really is.
And you find a Marty Feldman from where? From heaven?
Yes.
You know, where does a Marty Feldman come from, you know? I mean, it was all just...
I know.
Meant to be.
Yeah.
It was all meant
well,
to
yeah.
be.
But so many things in your or any career seem that way. I mean, we know about some of the original casting choices on Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it took some turns.
It took turns, and we got lucky. We took a good bounce.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted Richard Pryor. I mean, I was going to quit.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't hire him because he couldn't get insurance because he had been arrested for drugs or whatever. Mm. They didn't want Richard Pryor. And I was going to quit, and Richard said, no, I didn't get my last payment as a writer. He was one of the writers mm-hmm. with me. He said, don't quit, do it. We'll do it together. We'll do it, you know. God bless him, so. And we both cast Cleavon. We saw a lot of guys, and when we saw Cleavon, we looked at each other and said, you know, you see, he was so classy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was a Broadway actor.
Yeah.
Came from Broadway, and he took his time when he talked. He was so confident. Mm. His confidence just exuded, you know, a sureness.
Mm. He has a real warmth
else.
About him, too.
Yeah, and he his own giggle made you love him because he'd giggle, you know. The whole idea of these rednecks, you know, really amused him. I mean, the fact that he sang I Get No Kick from Champagne instead of a good old nigga work song, you know. I mean, he loved that. He loved all of that. And I kept saying, I said, Cleavon, you know, I think we're using the N-word too much. He said, no. He said, you're not. The bad guys are using it. They're supposed to. It makes it better for us. Mm,
interesting.
He said the bad guys. Yeah.
Now there again, but Gene Wilder wasn't the original idea to play.
No.
You know, and
no, I go way back. Only you would know. I'll tell you the truth. The first guy I wanted, believe it or not, was a 20th Century Fox song and dance man,
Dan Daly.
You knew that.
Yeah.
Yes, Dan.
Amazing. Because he was long and lean and leathery-faced and a great actor who could play an alcoholic. I knew that because he had played in a Betty Grable picture. He had played an alcoholic. He was brilliant.
Yep.
And I called him, and he was in Hawaii, and he said, Mel, you've made my year. You know, I'm so happy that you wanted me. But he said, if you saw the... I have to wear my glasses 24 hours a day. And he says... My glasses consist of a frame around my ears and the bottom of two Coke bottles. He said, that's how thick, he says, and I can't see without them. So he says, I'm retired, and he says, you know, I'd love to help you, but I can't do it. So then I had a genius idea. Gig Young. Mm-hmm. They shoot horses, don't they? Played an alcoholic. And he was, in real life, he was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And... He won an Academy Award. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
Gig Young. Even though he was, I loved the fact that he was a light comedian who would become a great actor. I loved that. This guy is, he's the Waco kid. He is the Waco kid. And I hired him. We did our first scene. And in the middle of the scene, he began throwing up green stuff. And, you know, because his agent and manager said he's okay. He's cured. He's not out there. Mm-hmm. We had to send him back to some hospital. And then I just cried on the phone to Gene, because Gene was my best friend. We just talked about it. He said, I knew you'd come to me. But I know. He said, what's the size of the suit? I told him, he says, it'll fit. And he said, I'll be there tomorrow. And he came on. He flew there Sunday, early Sunday morning, like 7 in the morning. He was there before noon. We had a little bite to eat at Norm's. We went into Fox. He tried on the suit. We went out to Santa Clarita somewhere. He rode some horses. He picked one. He was all set. Next day was Monday. We didn't miss a day.
Wow.
Gene Wilder, we didn't miss a day.
Wow.
He was the Waco kid.
Again,
And he knew the script. He knew, you know, he could just, you know, inhale the script and know it forever and ever.
Jeez.
Amazing.
When I think about him playing Leo Bloom in The Producers, and this is no offense to anyone else who's played the part, and I've seen several good people play that part, but when you see him in the original movie, and he throws the tantrum.
He doesn't know he's... See, the wonderful thing about Gene is he doesn't know he's funny. He's never playing funny. Mm-hmm. He's playing earnestly, always. And he doesn't know he's a volcano about to erupt. He has no idea that there's a volcano in him and it's going to erupt, you know? Everything takes him by surprise and takes us by surprise, and, you know? And he's really a consummate artist and a great actor, and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. It's no luck. There's no luck in his performance. Mm-hmm. He works hard to get every moment correct.
Wow.
You know.
So how did he work against Zero Mostel, who's so big, who's so wonderful, but so big?
He kept saying to me, "Mel, he scares me." He kept saying, "Mel, I'm afraid.
Oh, God.
He's going to bite me. He's going to crush me. I'm afraid." Zero loved him. Zero said, "Oh, we're very lucky to get this guy." Leo, he's this perfect. Mm. Perfect, you know.
Now, when did it occur to you that you couldn't resist putting yourself in some of these movies?
Well, I worked in the mountains, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I put myself in every sketch. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I was like an MC. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, "Good evening, ladies and Jews," that kind of guy. And I was always doing that stuff. And then when Gene said, he actually said, I'll do Young Frankenstein if you're not in it. I said, "Well, why?" He said, "Because there's going to be a suit of armor and you're going to open it and say, that's all, folks." You know? So I said, "Okay, I won't be in it." You know, so he was right. Because he said, "It's all right once in a while, but you can't constantly break the fourth wall." Mm-hmm. He said, "And and it was a good tip for me." So mm-hmm. Very careful. I do break the fourth wall in many of my pictures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now I'm a lot more selective about how and when I do it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And that was Gene's advice.
Wow.
You know?
Well, that's the thing about having brilliant people around you.
He was. And everybody loved him. Cloris loved him.
Yeah.
Madeline loved him. The monster, mm-hmm. Peter Boyle and mm-hmm. Jerry and... Mm-hmm. And Marty and he just were joined at the hip. They went out together every night. I mean, I don't know whether Gene knew that it would be good for the role, but there was a, you know, there was a dinner.
How do you describe Marty Feldman?
Marty is a phenomenon. Mm. He's a strange phenomenon. I said, the best way to hide from Marty Feldman is to put your nose against his. His eyes go out the side, he'll never see it, you know? Marty knows, he's very wise. He knows what's happening. He takes his time. I don't like to laugh because it ruins, you know, you have so much money to make a movie, and mm-hmm. you laugh, you got to do it again.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help it when I spoiled a very good take, but I had a good second take. It was the scene opens with Inga, with Terry Garr, saying to, she says, Doctor, you haven't touched your food. He's very depressed because that didn't work with them, you know. The monster didn't come to life. So he says, "You haven't touched your food." So Gene says, there. He puts... He smashes the mashed potatoes and I've touched it. All right, you know, which was a good enough laugh.
Yeah.
And then Marty Feldman immediately follows up with, "I'll never forget what my father used to say to us at times like these." And then he didn't talk. We waited a long time. Finally, Gene said, "What?" He said, "Wait a minute. What did he say? What did your father say at times like these?" You know. And then he said, get out of the bathroom, give someone else a chance. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, I mean, but I just lost it. And I said, all right, let's do it again. You know, I knew it was coming.
And again, the
but he took his time. And then at the end of it, give someone else a chance.
Yeah.
He put a T at the end of chance.
Yeah.
Chanced. He took a potato. You'll see it in the movie. Yeah. He takes a little potato. He takes the whole potato. And he said, I mean, there's nothing to do with the world, with what's going on. He just ate the boiled potato. I mean, it was so bizarre and so wonderful. You know, I just got so lucky with these people.
Oh,
you know?
Well, some of it's luck, but some of it's also real, real smart choices on your part. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you cast Madeline Kahn.
Oh, yeah.
There was
nobody else I knew. When I wrote the script with Gene and I wrote No Tongues, I never imagined that reading from Madeline, No Tongues, I mean, that was, I meant Gene grabs his mouth. She always, like most of the actors that I get, raised, I'm a brilliant writer, I'm a great writer, but they raised the script.
Sure.
They raised the material.
Sure. And just as you said about Gene Wilder, I mean, she's never playing funny.
No.
She's playing the character. Lily von Stupp is
Lily
real.
Von Stupp.
Yes.
She's that German cuckoo. She believes she's Marlene Dietrich. You know, I never asked her to hum out of tune along with the song. I mean, she just threw that in.
Yeah.
That crazy, it's weird humming, just slightly out of tune. She's a genius. She was just a genius.
Jesse often has the TV on some cable channel showing, you know, movies, and I'll walk into her room or through her room, and I'll catch glimpses and bits of things. And, you know, when I haven't seen Robin Hood Men in Tights, say, in a while.
Yeah.
And if I happen to come in,
I watch it on a weekly basis.
Yeah. If I happen to come in and it's on, it's like, I can't stop watching.
Yeah.
It's just too fun.
I can't stop watching. And if I have the misfortune of coming in during Dom DeLuise's scene as the Godfather,
oh, it's just the funniest
that's it.
Thing.
I'm finished for the day.
Yeah. I cry. It makes me cry. That's the good joke. That's a good joke. That's a good script. That's a fantastic movie. Is I can't turn it off. The reason I end up watching it every week.
Why can't
is
you
because it's on. Because it's fantastic, and I don't want to turn it off. I'm laughing. It brings me joy. And
you know,
for me,
you know who sews it all together. Carrie.
Carrie
always sews the whole movie together.
Mm-hmm.
He stitches it together. He's like the wonderful hero, the old-fashioned hero, that hero figure that brings everybody together, that watches out for everybody, that is really, you know, the hero figure. And he was just amazing in the movie. I was, you know, and I found, you know, I'm a good kid. I found Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
There's so many good people in that film.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing. It's because my mom finds you funnier than I would say anybody else in the world. You are connected to her funny bone. Now, I am the same because I was raised with you. Knowing
I met her, but I didn't
funniest.
Want to start up with her because she was with
she's terrifying. She's a terrifying little lady.
Yeah, she was great.
My Bronx bomber. The thing is, I can hear her laughing. When I watch your films and when I watch anything you do, I can hear her laughing. So when I listen to the 2,000-year-old man, I know what's going to... I can hear her in my head. She has a... That's how she laughs. And I hear it because I just know what's good. I mean, every day in our household, we quote you from something.
You've given us a lifetime.
It's natural.
Catchphrases.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom yells, "He busts my boyfriend." Yeah. I mean, you name it gets yelled.
Or I just got some DVDs in the mail, you know, some films, older films that are being reissued. And who's the star of two of them? Randolph Scott. Well, I don't ever say
Scott.
Randolph Scott. I sing Randolph Scott.
Randolph Scott.
That's
family.
It.
Right.
Has to be. There's only one way to do that.
First time I did that as a kid, he kissed me. He was so proud. So proud when I started doing that.
And then last week I was revisiting the latest Star Wars movie because I wanted to bone up on the new one that J.J. Abrams made. And as I'm watching it, I'm thinking about Pizza the Hutt from Spaceballs.
Yeah.
I couldn't help myself. I could not help myself.
This is your fault.
You know,
this is your fault.
You've inflicted all this.
My pleasure. Pays the rent.
Yes, sure.
You know,
sure.
You got to pay the rent no matter what.
So I'm
going to pay the rent. I'm going to. I can't believe it. I'm booked.
This is a hell of a booking.
On the 1st of September, I'm booked at Radio City Music Hall. And
Showplace of the Nation.
Yeah, Showplace of the Nation. But 6,388 seats.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I filled a lot of places before. You know, I just finished a gig in Chicago doing Blazing Saddles and then coming out and talking mm-hmm. about for an hour. And that was over 4,000 seats. It was 4,100. Big.
It's not hard to sell you,
and
boss.
It was amazing. Now, we are like 75%. I'm going to be there September 1st. I don't know. It's like a couple of weeks from now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not worried about selling anymore. You don't have to push it.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're going to show Blazing Saddles again.
We're going to show Blazing Saddles, and then I'm going to talk about it and tell some, you know.
Mm-hmm. And people are going to have a really good time. People are going to have a really good time.
Yeah.
And they're going to laugh a lot.
But,
and,
you know, when I go back to the mountains, mm-hmm. I go back to the Boer Circuit and tell some stories there.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to Williamsburg when I was a little kid,
mm-hmm.
tell some sweet, funny stories there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell stories about, you know, Sid Caesar and mm-hmm. my first jobs being in the business. And, mm-hmm. Carl Reiner, and mm-hmm. you know.
Do I understand that you also have a book coming out this fall?
Young Frankenstein, the coffee table book.
Wow.
And I'm putting a band on it. Please try not to spill any coffee. Yeah.
Wonderful. Who's publishing that?
Hachette.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Good publisher.
Yes.
They know what they're doing. They know how to do it.
A big, classy book, then.
Yeah, big, classy coffee table book. Yeah, with
wonderful.
A lot of pictures and
great.
A lot of comments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people who are still around, like Gene and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Contributed to their thoughts to it. It's
great. Oh, one more random question out of this.
Random.
How on earth did you think of hiring or even offering the role to Gene Hackman of The Blind Man?
I didn't. I didn't ask for him. He played tennis with Gene Wilder.
Ah.
They had houses near each other up in Bel Air.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pals. They played tennis every mm-hmm. on the weekends, every Saturday. And from what I heard from Gene, mm-hmm. from Wilder, he said that Hackman said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, well, we're going to be shooting his thing in a couple of weeks, and we've just finished the script." And Mel and I, he said, "I think it's going to be good. It's very funny. It's very exciting, you know." And Gene said, "Oh, shit, you know, too late. Is there a part for me?" And Gene said, "There's a blind man who wears a kind of, you know, a strange, you know, cassock, and the monster, you know, from the original movie, the monster comes and he's kind to the monster. Well, this blind man is really blind. He spills a lot of hot soup on the monster's crotch, and, you know." So he says, "What would you, have you got anybody?" He says, "I don't know if Mel has cast that." He says, "I'll get it." So he came to me the next day and said, called me that night, "Gene," I said, "Hackman," I said, "I mean, that's too much." I mean, he said, we'll disguise him, we'll put a big beard on him, and later it'll be nice to find out
mm-hmm.
that it was Gene Hackman. I said, "You're right, we'll do it that way." I said, "Tell him, sure, fine, scale, that's all we got. You know?
I have no money."
Yeah.
Yes.
So he did it, he was so happy to do it.
Oh, great. So, in other words, let's see, other than playing Radio City Music Hall.
Right.
Releasing an upcoming coffee table book about Young Frankenstein.
Don't spill your coffee on it.
Yeah. Preparing a new musical stage production of Young Frankenstein.
Yes,
in London.
A year from now, we mm-hmm. hope that mm-hmm. the people will be dancing on the boards and,
right.
and
you're,
singing.
You're not doing much.
No,
talk about lazy. What's the last movie you saw? You and Carl Reiner watch movies all the time, do you not?
With Jason Bourne, not the new one.
Uh-huh.
We just see the old ones over and over. But the last one we saw 2 nights ago What we went all the way back to Identity, the first
one. Uh-huh, the first one.
Yeah, I like that.
Which is, I think, the best.
Yeah, the fishermen pick him up, mm-hmm. and, you know, and there's something in his back, mm-hmm. and then they get something in his thigh, and they take that out. And, oh, it's a message, it's a bank number, mm-hmm. and he goes to the, I think it's brilliant. I think they're brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Do you talk to each other during the film?
We only talk to each other to say, what did you miss? Because he falls asleep. So you say, what did you miss? What did you miss? And we catch up with each other because we eventually sleep 10 minutes. You know.
There you go.
Good. So you've had a nice experience together.
It's always good. Yeah. And I always love, you know, I'm so glad you're doing this. How long are you doing this thing?
We've been doing it a year and a half about.
It's a good experience?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, because we keep it casual.
Yeah, how do you distribute it? How do you show it? How do you...
It's online. Well, you can go to iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And if you're looking for it, you'll find it on iTunes. And sometimes people recommend it, and it gets, you know, some buzz generates from that. And if you're smart enough to check my website, there's a big thing there that says,
great,
listen here. And you click that, and you get to listen there. And we've had a lot of... good guests. You are
How often do you do it? Once
every week.
Every week.
Every week? Every week.
Yes.
That is great.
And we're still speaking to each other.
Wow.
Not bad, right?
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So it's nice to keep it in the family, as you know.
So, what's your name?
Jesse.
Yeah, well, Jessica, now what? You got a middle name?
Jessica Bennett.
Jessica Bennett.
Because her her late grandfather was named Ben.
Ben, that's great.
And so we stretched that to Ben.
No, good, good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My Hebrew name, Bina.
Yeah, I like
for
it.
For Ben.
Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Ben means son of, so you're a daughter of.
Yeah, I'm Bina.
Right. Yeah,
Bina.
Yeah,
Bina is my,
exactly.
Yeah. I love it.
Mel, thank
I don't
you
have
so
a middle,
much.
I'm too, yeah, I'm from a generation, we don't have middle names.
Is that true, really?
But somewhere, listen to this, somewhere on the internet, someone called me. My name is Kaminsky.
Mm-hmm.
Melvin Kaminsky.
Mm-hmm.
NMI, no middle initial. But about, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, somebody wrote something and called me Melvin James Kaminsky.
Fancy.
I had nothing to do with it.
No.
But everybody says, and his real name is Melvin. You know, everything they write about me now.
Oh, good.
And his real name is Melvin James Kaminsky. So, and they check with me. I say, yeah. Is it real? I say, yes.
Sure.
I don't fight it. Yeah,
sure
I am
is.
Melvin James, fine. Because why should I waste energy saying, what? I don't know. I'm not James. I don't get it. Why should I fight? Yes, I am. My mother was very fancy. She loved Harry James.
Right. How about Melvin Moisha?
No, they wouldn't do that. That's too Jewish.
Too Jewish.
Uh-huh. I've had a good life, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not over yet.
And it's not over yet.
I make over 100 a week. I can eat anywhere, any place, you know.
Wonderful.
I'm very happy to do this.
God bless you for doing it.
I've always liked you, but when I saw you and your wife at Vince's, then I...
We're talking about Vince Giordano and his Nighthawks.
Yeah.
The best music either side of heaven.
You held my hand at that performance, and I plotzed. Which
Vince plays...
For those who don't know, that means I died a little bit.
Right. Vince and the Nighthawks play every week, every Monday and Tuesday night, now at a place called Iguana.
Iguana now,
just off Broadway.
Great. They make great burritos. They make great food.
Mm-hmm.
Their chicken is amazing.
I did not think I'd hear from you.
Yeah.
They make great burritos.
And you hear music of the 20s and 30s played just like it was in the 20s.
And they do a jazz version of Springtime for Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Which is...
just for me.
Marvelous.
With rides, with solos. I mean, it's so great.
It's so good.
So beautiful, yeah. And they always play my favorite song.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
When Day Is Done.
Ah, yes.
A very old, mm-hmm. When Day Is Done. It's an old Crosby. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Mm.
You don't... I'm going to ask you just once more.
Okay.
Did you ever think of paying your guests? Ever?
You got to talk to my mother. She's the boss.
Did it ever occur to you?
She's the boss.
No, I'm afraid the subject has eluded me thus far.
He doesn't
even
pay me.
Yeah.
I don't get paid.
Thus far. But we'll consider it.
You know what? If any money comes in from all the nonsense that you're doing, you must share some of it with Jessica. You must.
You hear that?
Okay.
Doing, you hear that?
Okay. Spoken like a true father.
No, because she's doing a good job.
Yes, yeah. Of course she is.
Yeah.
Of course she is.
If she wasn't related to you.
Okay.
She's got rhythm. She's got, you know, talent. She's doing a good job.
It's all true.
Going to go die now. Excuse me.
All right. Mel, thanks again.
My pleasure.
Thanks aren't enough.
You're going to be in New York on September 1st to see me at Radio
City? Oh, I wish I were. No.
Okay.
I wish I were, but I wish you all the best.
I'll give you a report. I will.
Good.
I'll call you and let you know.
Good. I'm sure friends of mine will be there, too.
I can't believe I can fill it, but we're getting there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can fill it. You can fill it, please.
6,300.
Yeah.
I know. Amazing. Amazing. That's great.
Well, you're that funny.
Well, you're that much loved, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I've heard of pheasant on a glass, but I still like the grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm really a peasant, you know. And so I think people divine that.
Mm-hmm.
They know my stuff is simple, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My father was born in Danzig, and my mother was born in Kiev. You know, I like things like groats, kasha. Mm-hmm. With bow ties.
Mm-hmm.
You never heard of that, did you?
I have, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's called kasha varnishkes.
Mm-hmm.
Little pasta bow ties in a sea of groats with a little bit of gravy, beef gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And I begin singing Russian songs. I do. Ayuchni. Volga Boatman.
Yeah.
Comes right out. Anyway, nice working with you. Keep in touch. Don't be strange.
All of that. Thank you, Mel. You've been listening to, believe it or not, Mel Brooks on Maltin on Movies. We'll see you again next week. You can find me in between on Twitter at Leonard Maltin, online at leonardmaltin.com. And Jesse and I are going to go take a very deep breath now and recover from this lovely conversation.
Taste, Leonard. Always,
God bless. Bye bye.
Take care. Bye bye.
Today's episode of Maltin on Movies is brought to you by Legion M, the world's first fan-owned entertainment company. If you love movies as much as we do, why not own a piece of them? Find out more at www.legionm.com.
It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. WOW Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowellbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.